Let me introduce Peggy Seeger. There's a lot of things about Peggy Seeger that are well known. The fact that she happens to sit in the middle generation of a three-generation absolutely iconic musical family. She's been lucky enough to watch her sons develop all of their skills and lives as musicians after learning so much about music from both her mother and her father, after sharing music with her other siblings. Now, I think that the tradition that we have to think about in relation to Peggy Seeger, I was lucky enough to have dinner with Peggy last night, and listening to her talk about the work of music, what music really does, you know, if you think back a few centuries, the bards, the poets, the storytellers, and then the music makers were the people that, in effect, told us about ourselves, and it was things that were passed on. And the important part of the folk tradition that were changed then in each new generation of people that took those words to themselves, made them a little different, and then made them very appropriate for the time and place in which people found themselves. Peggy is one of the most important today, I think, symbols, living examples, people carrying it on in terms of what that tradition really means, in terms of how we have come to understand now going back centuries, going back eons, going back as far as we have as humans, in terms of that idea of carrying on the word about ourselves, carrying on the word in terms of trying to capture what's going on in our current moment and in our future dreams. So today, Peggy Seeger is joining us in our Brown Bag series at Our Daily Work, Our Daily Lives to talk about a feminist view of women and work in Anglo-American traditional songs. So please help me in welcoming to the library and to MSU's campus, Peggy Seeger.
Thank you, John.
Whoa, follow that. Thank you very, very much. I enjoyed the dinner, too. I did. Really, really, really. How many of you know what an Anglo-American folk song is? Okay, you probably know what it is without knowing what it is, if you know what I mean. That means that they came originally from England, or that they are, and they came over to the United States, or that they are in the English language, in the English tradition. And the reason that the scope is so narrow is that that's all I know about. I don't know anything about songs from Poland or songs from Russia. And these are all folk songs too, but these were the ones I was brought up with. And when I was, 1935, when I was 35, my Lord, that long ago, I inadvertently wrote a feminist song, which has now become one of the anthems of feminist movements. It's called I'm Gonna Be an Engineer. I should say I did not want to be an engineer. At that time, I was a folk singer's partner, mother. But all through my life, I never even thought about being an engineer. I wrote this for a documentary, an actual political musical documentary. And it rolled out with things that had never happened to me in my life. Very strange. And for those of you who don't know the song, here it is. For those of you who do know, here it is again. When I was a little girl, I wished I was a boy. I tagged along behind the gang and wore my corduroys. Everybody said I only did it to annoy, but I was gonna be an engineer. Mama told me, can't you be a lady? Your duty is to make me the mother of a pearl. Wait until you're older, dear, and maybe you'll be glad that you're a girl. Dainty as a Dresden statue, gentle as a Jersey cow, smooth as silk gives creamy milk. Learn to coo, learn to moo, that's what you do to be a lady now. Well, when when I went to school, I learned to write and how to read some history, geography, and home economy. And typing is a skill that every girl should need to while away the extra time until the time to breed. Then they had the nerve to say, what would you like to be? I says, I'm gonna be an engineer. No, you only need to learn to be a lady. The duty isn't yours for to try and run the world. An engineer could never have a baby. Remember, dear, that you're a girl. She's smart for a woman. I wonder how she got that way. You get no choice, you get no voice. Just stay mum, pretend you're dumb. And that's how you come to be a lady today. Then Jimmy come along and we set up a conjugation. We were busy every night with love and recreation. I spent my day at work so he could get his education. Well, now he's an engineer. He says, I know you'll always be a lady. It's the duty of my darling to love me all her life. Could an engineer look after or obey me? Remember, dear, that you're my wife. Well, as soon as Jimmy got a job, I began again. And happy at me turret lay the year or so. And then the morning that the twins were born, Jimmy says to them, kids, your mother was an engineer. You owe it to the kids to be a lady. Dainty as a dish rag, faithful as a chow. Stay at home, you got to mind the babies. Remember, you're a mother now. Well, every time I turn around, there's something else to do. Cook a meal, mend the socks, sweep the floor or two. Holding out the potty when the baby wants to poo. I was gonna be an engineer. You know, I really wish that I could be a lady. I could do the lovely things that a lady's supposed to do. I wouldn't even mind if only they would pay me. And I could be a person too. What price for a woman? You buy her for a ring of gold. To love and obey without any pay. You get your cook and your nurse, for better or worse. You don't need your purse when the lady is sold. Ah, but now that times are harder and me Jimmy's got the sack, I went down to Vickers, they were glad to have me back. But I'm a third-class citizen, my wages tell me that, and I'm a first-class engineer. The boss, he says, we pay you as a lady. You know you only got the job, cause I can't afford a man. With you, I keep the profits high as maybe. You're just a cheaper pair of hands. You got one fault, you're a woman. You're not worth equal pay. A bitch, you're tart, you're nothing but heart. Shallow and vain, you got no brain. You even go down the drain like a lady today. Well, I listened to my mother and they joined a typing pool. I listened to my lover and I put him through his school. But if I listen to the boss, I'm just a bloody fool and an underpaid engineer. I've been a sucker ever since I was a baby. As a daughter, as a wife, as a mother and a dear. But I fight them as a woman, not a lady. Fight them as an engineer. Probably better if we don't have clapping after songs, because otherwise we'll spend a lot of time clapping. But that's what I wrote.
Yeah, sure, now.
That's what rolled out in 1970-71. And immediately I was taken up by a feminist movement that I didn't even know existed. I was living with a fella, and our friends were not necessarily feminists. But what happened was that a lot of feminists began asking me to come sing at their functions. And I found that all I had were North American folk songs. And to look for anything in those that would please a feminist was very, very difficult. I'm going to show you why. So I began to look into the kind of folk songs that we have, and I believe that every culture gets the folk songs it deserves. And the American ones are mostly, as far as women are concerned, are descriptive. They describe a situation. They very, very, very rarely are prescriptive, saying, let's flame and well do something about it. So I'm going to give you a rundown. And it is fairly wordy. I'm a word person. I'll try to give enough samples to kind of lard the talk with. But what I'd like you to do, how many of you know about folk songs and at all? Okay. Well, these are generally speaking, they're the songs of the lower and lowest economic classes. They are the songs of people who did not have access to symphony orchestras or, in the early days, access to mass media or visiting theater people. They were songs that came out of their communities. And often the communities in this country where most of these songs come from were made up of people whose ancestors or who themselves had come from England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and points like that. So the songs kind of, they fed in to the American way of life, and they informed a lot of the musical life, especially pretty much east of here. Most of the Anglo-American folk songs depend on melody and words. They are not rhythm pieces, not rhythm orientated. And in the early days, they were not harmony orientated. The words were very important. So most of what I'm going to deal with is words. I'm sure you know that music doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's part of our society. It's part of what we do. It's not separated from the way the rest of the world is. If you read a book called The Necessity of Art by Ernst Fischer, he goes right through, right from very early on, it's F-I-S-C-H-E-R, by the way, he goes right through how the music we have is tied and developed from and contributes to the society that we live in at different stages of our society. So it's not just a way to entertain ourselves. It's a way to learn about some things that happened long ago. So they're much more than entertainment. Unlike a lot of classical music and popular music, they're not commodity pieces. They haven't been created to earn money from. Some people take them and earn money from them, but they were not created for that. They were created out of need to express, and need to glue a community together. And they embody whole value systems that come from that section of society. They have a relationship to the status quo of where we've been. And they don't much talk about where we're going, the folk songs that don't. They crystallize our attitudes towards our culture. And one of the most important things is that they reinforce assumptions that society had, in this case, about women, about where we belong in the society. The makers of the songs had a lot to feel angry about. Who made these songs? I have no idea. But I reckon that an awful lot of women made them to complain and talk about their situations. And because they were singing in a mixed-gender society, these could not be revolutionary songs. They had to be songs that could be accepted as a description. Because usually, say if you talk to men about housework, they will agree it's difficult, and they will agree that it's multitasking, but they might not agree that we should be paid for it, which is a revolutionary idea, let's face it. In England, there's a movement called Wages for Housework, and what is so hard to explain to both men and women is that the wages do not come out of the men's wage, they come out of the government wage. You know, that it's a payment by the government to keep the society going. So there was a lot to feel angry about, but most of the folk songs are fairly muted when they talk about what to do about it. So they're a steam valve, a lot of these songs. Now, we sing these folk songs and hand them down, hopefully intact, to the next generation. But what we're handing down is messages about where women stood in those societies. Now you can say, all right, we don't live that way anymore, an awful lot of us. The women can do this, women can do that. I'm not talking about equal wages here. I'm talking about the things that we are, quote, allowed to do and encouraged to do, especially in institutions of higher learning. But by singing songs where women are marginalized, murdered, sent off to Australia because they didn't obey their husbands, things like this, we are validating those messages. We are giving them our approval. and saying, okay, this is all right. Unless, of course, we say something before we sing it and say, I don't agree with this, but I'm going to sing it anyway. So this is quite a long lecture, and the way I'd like to divide it is for, say, hopefully about the next hour, hour and 15 minutes, I'm going to talk about folk songs as they, as I see them. This is my view. This is not anybody else's. I just worked this all out myself. Now, songs in which women are the main feature, the main figure, this is what I'm going to talk about. So I'm not going to be talking about shanties and sports songs and military songs for men. I'm talking about where the woman is the main moving force or force acted upon. And I've divided this into four sections. The first one is called The Norm at Home, because almost all of our songs in the Anglo-American repertoire, where women are the main protagonist, they involve men, love, family, and home. Okay? This is the bulk of them. And you will nearly always, even in the work songs, find that men and family and home come into them, are mentioned in them. This is very different from the men's military songs and the men's sports songs and the things like that. Women, we revolve around the home. I think that's healthy myself. The second section is the norm at work. Women when they go out to work or when they work at home. The third section I call enforcing the norm. Songs that try to keep women in their place, in our place. The fourth one is called bucking the norm, where women will say, no, I'm not going to do that. And they go off and do other things, and what happens to them. So that's four sections. Then after the break, I'll try and do some new women's songs, showing what some people are doing with new ones. So it's a hefty program, but you'll get to stand up and rest your feet, you know, rest your butts and exercise your feet in about an hour and 15 minutes, maybe at quarter of two, if that's all right with you. And when I feel I'm going on too long, I'll just say stop, I'll come back again, okay? I don't want to belittle the folk songs, I really don't. They are an unbelievably beautiful body of treasures that have been handed down to us, and I feel it a duty to hand them on. I just now am aware that I'm giving validation to the melodies. I mean, to the content. And some of the content is absolutely horrendous. Quite blithely, as a teenager, I used to sing this one. I had a wife and got no good of her. Here is how I easy got rid of her. Took her out and chopped the head off her early in the morning. Seeing as how there was no evidence for the sheriff or his reverence, they had to call it an act of providence early in the morning. So if you've a wife and get no good of her, here is how you easy get rid of her. Take her out and chop the head off her early in the morning. Whoo! It was a Puritan song. From the Puritans. Or you have a song like this. And some of these songs sound absolutely harmless, like this one. I'll analyze it for you later for the messages, although I think probably you're smart enough to get them yourself. But sang this one. I once dressed up and went into town to court a fair young lady. Devilish Mary, come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. Now it's your duty here to sing choruses, so here it is. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. It's not a good room for singing in, just a little tiny bit louder than that. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. We hadn't been courting about 2 weeks, she got in a hurry. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. We hadn't been married about 2 weeks before we ought to been parted. I had not said but a single word, she kicked up her heels and started. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. She washed my clothes in old soap suds, filled my bath with switches, made right out from the very start, she was gonna wear my britches. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. two feet high, so she can't wear my breeches. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a day. Charming. That's one of the problems, is these songs are charming, and they are catchy. They are made to catch their hooks. So, we're in the norm in which most of these songs fall, about maybe 80-90%. The norm, it consists of a number of things. Woman is property of her parents. Woman is unclaimed property. Woman loved and left. Woman as powerless. Desirable women's behavior dictated by the songs. Sleep with a man and you'll always get pregnant. The fallen women. Women outside marriage. There's a lot of categories of these songs. And one of the main things is there's very few happy love songs in all of this. You know? So women is property. Over and over and over. A woman is usually, she's usually rich, and a poor man comes after her. And what happens to him? He's transported to Australia, or he's murdered by the parents. He's sold off as a slave, whatever. The women are property of their parents. You know, when a marriage ceremony happens, and in the old way, the father took the hand and gave it to the husband. That's what it means, giving your hand in marriage. It was given from one man to another, she was. Things like, oh, early one morning at sound as I did sleep, I heard the voice of my love calling at my feet. Says, rise up, William Riley, and come away with me unto that foreign country land, and married we will be. So her father takes after them, catches them, throws him in jail. Then the court scene happens. Up spoke her aged lawyer, up spoke her aged father, and these words he did say. He stole from me gold watches, he stole from me gold rings, he stole a silver brooch pin well worth £1,000. I'll have the life of Riley if I spend £10,000. Now, he's equating his daughter with jewels. He doesn't once mention the daughter, he just says she stole all these things. That's interesting. Read The Sexual Politics of Meat by, and it talks about the objectivization of women, okay? So then up spoke her aged lawyer. Up spoke her aged lawyer, and these words he did say. To hang a man for love, boys, I call it murdery. To hang a man for love, boys, I call it murder, you can see. Oh, spare the life of Riley, let him leave his country. There's more verses than that, but I'm showing you how this happens. And there's lots of those songs where he goes after her, and the father has locked her up. She's his property. Okay, women as property. Look for these things in the folk songs, because it's important that we know. And because I don't have a lot of time, I'm going to women as unclaimed property. So, as you all know, because I think there's a lot of women over, or people over 29 in this room, and you've probably looked into these matters, there wasn't much that a woman could do except marry. Marriage was her passport to society. She wasn't allowed a higher education so she could earn her living. She could become a poor relation or an even poorer relation if she came from a poor family. She could stay home and take care of her parents. She could become a nanny or a governess for someone else's children. Or she could take things like housework out to small shops and things like that. But marriage was the thing that gave her validation. And so if she wasn't married, all the opprobrium, is there opprobrium? Is there an adjective for opprobrium? Opprobriumatic, whatever. Labels that were given to her, left on the shelf, old maid, spinster. And when they thought of a spinster, it wasn't someone who was good looking. It was always too thin, very fat, got old prematurely. And women were spinsters at the age of 23 and 24, back when a lot of these songs were made. And you have songs like this. You always have to feel sorry for the spinster. There are no happy spinsters.
Let's see now.
80 of us, poor old maids. 80 of us, poor old maids. 80 of us, never a penny in our purse. Lame, blind, and what is worse, we're poor old maids. It's a sad song. Oh, what a dismal crew, poor old maids. Oh, what a dismal crew, nursing cats is all we do. Dressed in pink and yellow and blue, poor old maids. Then it has, some kind of generous friend, please to us some husband send. Bring our troubles to an end, we're poor old maids. The Bachelor's Songs. I've read something in the Guardian Weekly this morning. Wait a minute. Sex is what women pay as a price for marriage. Marriage is the price that men pay for sex. And it's a French saying. Fellas, don't be disturbed by this lecture. This is just, I'm just letting you know a lot of things which maybe you know and maybe you ought to know. But it's not an anti-male lecture in any way. It's just funny. Anyway, the bachelors, most young men get married when they get their first job. They need someone to take care of them. This is actually a statistic. That's when they start needing to work and going out and earning money, there is a need, quite apart from falling in love. And in the songs, men consider themselves lucky if they have escaped marriage. The gay old bachelor, well, not the modern word gay, but the happy old bachelor. Let's see now. I am a stern old bachelor. My age is 44. I do declare I'll never live with women anymore. You're smiling, sir. A dowdy, 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 dee. I am a carefree bachelor and no one pities me. There's a whole lot of verses to this song. I have a stove worth 10 cents, a table worth 15. I cook my grub in oyster cans, keep everything so clean. Dee-dow-dee-dow-dee-dow. When I get home late at night, I smile and walk right in. I do not hear that voice yell out. I say, where have you been? Da-da. At night when in my peaceful sleep, my snoring does no harm. I do not have to walk the floor with a baby in my arms. Dee-da-dee-da-dee. Yeah, here's jaunty, you know. But here's my favorite verse. I go to bed whenever I like. I get up just the same. I wash my pants just twice a year with no one to complain. Dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee. But look at the way the spinsters and the bachelor songs look at heaven. To eternity we all must go, poor old maids. To eternity we all must go, poor old maids. To eternity we all must go, but the bachelors will be there also. And each of us can have a beau, happy old maids. But the bachelors... And when I die and go to heaven, like all good bachelors do, I will not have to grieve for fear my wife might get there too. Dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da. But when they've married, the songs of both the men and the women are the same. They're all complaining about it. We don't have happy marriage songs like the Scottish one. Which goes, there's nae luck aboot the hoose, there's nae luck at all, there's nae luck aboot the hoose when your good man's awa'. And then it talks about how the children miss him and how when they come, he comes home, the children all land on him and hug him and all that. We have nothing like that. Our songs are complaining. When I was single, went dressed so fine. Now I am married, Lord, it's misery all the time. Lord, and don't I wish I was a single girl again. Three little children lying in the bed. All of them so hungry, Lord, they can't raise up their hand. Lord, Lord, I wished I was a single girl again. And the fellas, let's see if I can remember this one. Single. Just a second. When I was single, oh then, oh, when I was single, oh then, oh, when I was single, my pockets did jingle, I wish I was single again. I married a wife, oh then, I married a wife, oh then, I married a wife, she's the plague of my life, I wish I was single again. My wife, she died, I laughed till I cried to think I was single again. I married another, oh then, I married another, oh then, I married another, the devil's grandmother, I wish I was single again. So marriage doesn't have much going for it in our songs. As a matter of fact, it has nothing at all. I don't think I even know any songs. And if any of you do that say, I'm happy, I'm married, I'd love to hear them. Folk songs, okay? So one of the things that comes through in all of this, and this is a huge body of songs, that just these first couple of ideas, women as property of her parents, women as property of a man, women as unclaimed property, and women loved and left. Endless songs about women loved and left. Not men loved and left. Often a man will complain she doesn't love him, but he has not left her with a baby in her arms. So I don't think it's necessary to sing one, because we have so darn many of them. It's one of the things our modern love songs seem to miss. There's a lot of complaints about he's left me, he doesn't love me, she's left me, she doesn't love me. But they're not as specific as the folk songs. There's no baby involved. So women as a victim comes through over and over. Feel sorry for me, he has left me. Look at this little baby in my arms. And I should say that when the woman is left, she is always left either pregnant or with a baby. She is never left with a toddler or a stroppy teenager. It's always a baby, because that gets the most sympathy. And that's, ladies, where we fall down, is we encourage this with these songs. Feel sorry for me. It's his fault, you know. In the folk songs, it's always his fault. And that is giving up power to say that it's his fault. That's giving up your own sexuality, saying it's his fault. He took advantage of me, you know. So there's lots of those. And the victims are often murdered in this, you know. And lots of those are forms of journalism. I sing those because I want to remember the names of Omi Wise, and I want to remember the name of poor Ellen Smith, who were, I think Ellen Smith was shot, Omi Wise was shoved into the river, and we see this every day in the news. Women. Anyway, so what we get from this, just up to here, is powerless women, women who are complaining about what's happened to them. And some of these songs are absolutely beautiful. There's one called Ruined Time. When I was in my prime, I flourished like a vine. There came along a false young man who stole away my time. Who stole away my time. The last verse is fantastic. And if God gives me time and another year of grace, I'll weep a barrel of crystal tears, and I'll wash that young man's face. I'll wash that young man's face. But it's still his fault, you know. So what we get from this is women's view of men is that they're fickle, they're opportunist, they're cruel, but you gotta have one. It's necessary for your entrance to society. Men's view of women is that women would do anything to get hold of a man, and who knows, it might be true if that's the only way we can survive socially. men's view of women is that pregnancy is a form of blackmail. Men's view is women, I don't want to marry them, but I got to have one. You know, for whatever reasons. So look for those things. Now, next section. Desirable women's behavior is dictated by the songs. The setting forth of the norm and saying, okay, girls, in order to get your man, this is what you have to do. You have to be ladylike. You can't make the first advances. You have to be a good housewife once you're married, etc., etc. And some of these songs, they are very prescriptive by the suggestion of what happens to you if you are not good. I went to church like a good girl should. The boys, they followed after me like the boys would. Boys are boys, wherever they may be. And I'll tell you presently how they treated me. Well, I came home like a good girl should. The boys, they followed after me like the boys would. Boys are boys, wherever they may be. And I'll tell you presently how they treated me. Well, I lit a candle like a good girl should. The boys, they blew it out again like the boys would, etc. And I went to bed like a good girl should. The boys, they followed after me like the boys would. Boys are boys, wherever they may be. And I tell you presently how they treated me. Well, I had a baby like any girl would. The boys, they all denied it like the boys would. Boys, so it's what a girl should, but it's what the boys would, you know? Huge, absolutely fantastic, big difference. So once you get all of these things you should and shouldn't do in place, let's listen to Devilish Mary again. Now, I know this is being picky, but these are subliminal, these messages. They really are. I once dressed... It's a little bit high for this time of the morning. Folk singers rule, never sing before three. I once dressed up and went into town to court a fair young lady. I inquired about her name. Well, he's going to court her, but he doesn't know her name. A fair young lady. He's going to look for a wife. Okay? So we already got something there. Her name was Devilish Mary. Devilish, you don't marry somebody devilish. That's for outside marriage. But is it a woman is supposed to be an angel in the kitchen and a whore in bed? But you don't marry a devilish woman. So he's on a bad track already. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. We hadn't been courting about 2 weeks. She got in a hurry. Thursday. Now, even as recent as 20 years ago, I would go to dances down in Asheville in North Carolina. And if you went up and you asked the man to dance, he was very put out, you know, especially if he was your own age. If he was a young man, he said, fine, Gran, I'll do that, you know. But a woman did not cross the dance floor. A woman did not ask a man to marry her. You finagled and you moved him into that position, but you didn't direct out and ask. So she had it made up in her mind that we were going to marry on Thursday. This is my job. I'm supposed to ask you, okay? She's just too pushy altogether. Well, we hadn't been married about 2 weeks before we ought to have been parted. I had not said but a single word. She kicked up her heels and started. Had not said but a single word. How many words do you have to say? This is a matter that is really bedeviling, the matter of domestic violence. How far do you have to go before you bring the services in, etc.? She kicked up her heels and started. She's left the marriage. How many women do you know who have left the marriage, gone home to mom, and mom says, you made your bed, lie in it. You're supposed to stay married according to the old way. And not that the new way necessarily, but in the old days, if you got a bad marriage, you had to stay in it. So she's done something she shouldn't do. She's gone off and become a single woman again. She washed my clothes in old soap suds, filled my bath with switches. Made right out. Well, she wasn't a good housekeeper. Not good, not good. You're supposed to, and we have quite a number of songs in the Anglo-American tradition where she doesn't do the housework. And what does he do? He goes out and he gets a sheepskin. He lays it over her back. And a whickety-whack with two little willows goes whickety-whack. And that's another one. You know, if you don't do your housework, there's something got to be done about it. She made right out from the very start. She was going to wear my breeches. Well, I'll not say anything about that one. Come a fa-la-ling, come a ling, come a ling, come a fa-la-ling, come a devil. Last verse. Well, if I ever get married again, it'll be for love, not riches. That's so interesting. He went to town looking for a rich girl. Okay? He didn't even know her. He was going after an economic situation. I'll marry a little girl about 2 feet high so she can't wear my breeches. He doesn't want a big woman. He wants a little woman. You know, and they often call her the little woman. This is the little woman. This is, you know. Or as it had in one of the English sitcoms, her indoors. He kept referring to his wife as her indoors. Her indoors. In other words, she's in the house. And he's out on the street doing all these deals, and he refers to his wife as her indoors.
Yeah, that's English. You wouldn't have even understood it if you'd heard the sitcom. It's just too English. So,
okay, that's Devilish Mary, that sweet little song with all those little bits and pieces. Okay, next message, sleep with a man and you'll always get pregnant. It does, over and over and over again. The little love song that I sang when I was in my prime, I flourished like a vine. That's a fantastic song. It uses flower symbolism. He stole away my time. T-H-Y-M-E is the symbol of virginity. My time, it is all gone. I cannot plant anew. And in the place where sprung my time, it's all grown up with rue. That's another plant. And then it says, I didn't go for the red rose, which is passion. I didn't go for the violet, which is innocence, etc. So over and over and over again, there are encomiums to women not to have, I hate the word, have sex, not to make love until you have that ring on your finger. And the warning songs are the ones where she gets pregnant and he leaves her or he kills her. So I won't sing one of those. They're too gloomy. But there are lots of them. Now, the fallen woman. The fallen woman who has gone in for drink, gambling, drugs, and sex. She always dies. The most famous one is the one that was made like the Streets of Laredo. Do you know the song, The Streets of Laredo? Well, that's a man's song. It's been taken over by women. That was originally an English song. It's related to the St. James Infirmary. And the St. James Infirmary was once St. James Palace, which is right in the middle of London. It's a fantastic palace. I'm not sure which member of the royalty lives there now. I know Prince Andrew had it for a while. It's enormous. And it was a hospital for venereal disease. There's a lesson there. It was venereal disease, and now it's the royalty. But... well, I don't hold any candles for the royalty, but I will say that because we have so many huge aristocratic parks in England, that the developers have not had a chance to completely take over England. You know, they have saved huge blocks of land with their big houses in them behind those big walls and gates, and they still have them. And I look on them as custodians for when we are responsible enough to not rape the country. So, we don't have any happy hookers in the American songs. We don't. We have occasional ones where women feel happy about sexuality. Things like, if he be a buckaroo. Buckaroo was a cowboy, and a hondu was a lariat. If he be a buckaroo, by his trade, I have him a hundo ready made. And if ever he throw his turns on right, he can have my hundo every night with a ring ting tinny and a ring ting hey, ring ting tinny and a ring ting ho. If he be a sheep herder, by his trade, I have him a corral that's ready made. And if ever he wants to separate, he can go through my dodging gate with a ring ting tinny and a ring ting hey, ring ting tinny and a ring ting ho. It's got a lot of verses. If he be a sailor by his trade, I have him a ship that's ready made. He can row and I can steer, bring home a cargo once a year with a ring ting tinny. Those are nice joyful songs, but they are not hookers. These are ones, they're bawdy. They are not having to do with sex for sale. So the warning here to women is that if you give yourself away too freely to too many people, to too many men, you will die of venereal disease. That's what they are. Or you will be on the streets. You will be begging. The happy hookers are in the shanties, the men's songs, you know, about all the women in this port, that port, the other port, and the ones they left behind. But the ones that are left behind where women are singing are not happy songs at all. Beat the drum lowly and play the fife merrily. Sound, and once again, go send for the doctor, a preacher to come and pray over me. Send for the doctor to heal up my wound. Send for the young man that first did betray me. It's his fault, not mine. For I am forsaken, I'm now dead and gone. Beat the drum slowly and play the fife merrily, etc. They are out and out laments. Women outside marriage. This is another category. We're still talking about women in the norm. This is the norm. This is the bulk of the songs where the women are the main protagonist. The single mother over and over again, but with the baby. Not the hordes of children. I saw a movie the other night called The Soloist. You should see it. It's about the homeless in Los Angeles. It's an excellent film. One of the main things that it shows you is the homeless in Los Angeles, of which I think there are 90,000. That's the main place of action in this film. And the number of children there are there is horrifying. Children. So the single mother with the babies. Now, here's an interesting category for you. The mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. You've all seen jokes about mothers-in-law? Whose mother is it? Hers. It's hers. In all the songs that where a man has to steal away the woman he loves from the father that's holding on to her, it's rarely the mother that's holding on to her. It's usually the father that comes to, takes the man to court. He steals her away, and she is now his property. But they say, a son's a son till he takes a wife, a daughter's a daughter for all of her life. The mother-daughter connection is very, very, very strong, extremely strong. The mother, when she gets to a certain age, she loses her job. Her job is to produce children and to take care of the house. And she becomes redundant. She loses her territory. She loses her power base. But her power base is holding on to her children. And so many mothers, we do that. We do that. We do that. And so the son has to take her away, get her away from the mother. You know, one of the best ways of alienating somebody towards somebody they love is to laugh at that person. Laugh at them. And if you make fun of your wife's mother, and that's what the jokes are about, you're making fun of her, you are alienating the two of them. The wife has got to have loyalty to her husband, and often you see women laughing at mother-in-law jokes and not realizing what this is all about. I told that old lady when I married her daughter, I did not intend the whole family to wed. Quickly she picked up a bucket of water, and taking good aim she let fly at my head. My life is all trouble, no pleasure I see. Wherever I go, that old lady watches me. I'd rather be drug off to jail or to Congress than live all my life with my mother-in-law. Well, I lived with my husband's mother for 16 years in the same house. And I understand why the father's, the husband's son is not a laughing matter. The husband's mother is not a laughing matter. She can be. This is not to say that there aren't good, but this is the songs I'm talking about, not necessarily reality. I won't start going on about my mother-in-law because she saved my life and my living, and she was wonderful to the kids, but it was hell living with her. And it was probably hell for her living with me. I have no idea. Probably was. But in the folk songs, the wife's mother is a laughing stock, and the husband's mother is terrifying. She's terrifying. In one of the songs, she kills her own son so that the wife can't have him. In one of the songs, she puts a jinx on the son's wife so that when she goes into labor, she cannot bear the baby. It's a wonderful song. It's called William's Lady. And it's very long. I must learn it because it is so good. Because here, you have two powerful women. You have the wife and you have the mother-in-law. And the son is like a hyphen between two great big words. He's running back and forth between one and the other, and he has loyalty to both of them. And the story is fantastic. Wife dying in labor, and the husband knows that his mother has powers. So he goes, "Mother, what can I do? My wife is dying." And she says, "Your wife's going to die because I put a spell on her. Too bad." So he goes back and he says, "Honey, too bad. You know, my mom's put a spell on you. You're going to die." She says, "Don't be silly." She says, "Go and tell your mother that I've had a bouncing baby bump." Go and tell your mother. This is in the middle of contractions. "Go and tell your mother that I have a bouncing baby boy. Go and tell her." So he goes and tells his mother, and the mother says, "Who untied the knot on the left-hand side of the bedpost? Who moved the right shoe to where the red shoe should be? Who turned the sheet at the bottom up on the right-hand side?" He remembers all these things, says, "Quick, undo the knot. Quick, move the shoes. Quick, undo the sheet." And the wife has the baby. But the mother is terrifying, you know? And whenever you see films in India or China or some of these Asian countries where the woman is taken away to the man's house and has to live there practically as a servant, you will understand this, you know? I know women who phone their mothers, women of 50 and 60 who phone their mothers every day. No. And I know a lot of men who make fun of the mothers. No. My mother died when I was 18. That never even got a chance, even if my husband would have done it. But so I don't know what that's like. But the songs, that's what they do. So this is a matter of women's territory, women's power. The mother-in-law is in a very, very powerful position. And the husband does know it. And as a daughter, you're torn, absolutely torn between the two if either of them decides to take more of you than they should have. You know? So, the songs, look for these in the songs. They're fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Women outside marriage, that's where we're at. The widow, how about the widow? Well, the widow, she has married, her husband has died. With a bit of luck, she's inherited his property. With no luck, the son has taken over. But that is not mentioned in these songs. In most of our songs, the widow is happy. She can entertain. She is sexually broken in, if you would like to say. So she often holds court at her house. And the young men and the men of the village can go down there and they can be entertained by the widow because it's legit for some strange reason. She's the gay widow, the happy widow. I don't know any of those songs, but also the widow is fair game. She's got money. She's got what her husband left her. So you've already, your quid's in if you can get her. And who knows, she might be wanting a man permanently. So the widow is in a very strong position. She's not in the position of the single woman with the baby, you know. The woman whose husband has left her, I don't know any songs about that. I don't know any of them. That doesn't seem to happen yet. I'm sure it did. But I know a reasonable number of songs, and if anybody knows one, I would love to learn it. Her legitimate partner has left, and I don't know those. So anyway, that is roughly the end of the norm picture. And it's a sad picture in lots of ways. Chiefly because it's the majority of the songs. There are... Do I even know any happy love songs? I'm not sure that I do. These are traditional songs I'm talking about, not singer-songwriter songs. These are the ones that come at us from the past. Both men and women are warning us off marriage. Some of them are warning us off love. Oh, had I known before I courted that love had I been such a killing thing, I'd have locked my heart in a box of golden and pinned it up with a silver pin. Oh, Hannah, loving Hannah, come give to me your hand. You said if ever you'd marry, that I would be your man, that I would be your man, that I would be your man. Now you have broke your promise, go home with who you please, while my poor heart is aching here lying at your ease. This isn't to say that one gender, one sex feels any worse about it than the others. But for some reason, and reasons we can all understand, it was easier for the man to go off and find somebody else than it was for the woman with the baby in her arms. So it adds up to a rather sad image of women as powerless, victims, man-grabbers, a trap into which men must not fall, and over which men must have power. And this is why it's so interesting. I still sing these songs in concert. I try to say something about them and their position in gender responsibility and in gender awareness, that what we're singing is our history. And what we're singing is the present-day life of probably 70-80% of women around the world. You know, when you see an African wedding in this country, has the woman undergone clitoridectomy? We don't know. We don't know a lot of these things. I don't even know if they have songs about such things. But it's important to sing them. It's important to know that we still have vestiges of these attitudes in, for instance, the wages thing and jobs which is considered unladylike for women to hold, like playing the banjo. I was told when I was 18 that women shouldn't play the banjo. Girls don't play the banjo. And I figure one of the reasons is you have to spread your legs to do it. You cannot play banjo with your legs daintily crossed. And also you have to put a lot of energy into playing the banjo. And for some reason, women's energy seemed and seems to be terrifying, not only to a lot of men, but to a lot of women. You know? Women with a lot of energy are sometimes looked on as half male, partly male. So let's get on to another one. Do you have any questions at this point? Oh, we're doing well for time. We're doing really well for time. I might even sing you a few whole songs. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you were saying that there's this segments of songs that women, and there are, where if women have sex, they're going to get pregnant. Well, in history, that was true.
And true.
Before birth control was very difficult to come by, and certainly there was not too much choice. Mm. So those songs were teaching.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll get into that in enforcing the norm, because that's what they did. We have three more sections to go through. the norm, women at work, but it's a good point. Maybe I'll go to enforcing the norm now. How about that one? Now, these are pieces with an inbuilt warning. That's what they are. What the one was before was that women will get pregnant. That is a norm, okay? But enforcing that norm and warnings, essentially what it says is behave like this, and this is what you'll get. And you'll deserve it, you know? These songs are sometimes casually kind of violent in nature. Their nature. Wife beating and wife abuse is quite casual. And even now, there are women who take for granted that their husband's going to hit them at some point. I was standing in a queue in Belfast. Was it Belfast? I can't imitate the accent. This young woman, she would have been about 20, 21, and she had a ring on her finger, so that's, I thought that she meant. She says, "There's something wrong with him. He don't even hit me." What? No? And I've heard gypsy women talk about, you won't get him to sing that. He won't come over to the Cayley tonight. Tonight's the night he beats his wife. No? It's kind of like it's been institutionalized. The beating in these, or the warnings, are usually quite casual and almost off the cuff. Like the one, "I had a baby like any girl would, and the boys would. The boys are boys." It's often even treated humorously, the violence, as part of the expectations of marriage. It usually has to do with marriage. It nearly always has to do with marriage. Murder is treated as lamentable, but normal. And most of the songs where the woman is murdered, they immediately go over to the man and say, well, they put him in jail, and that's what you get for murdering her. Very rarely is it, "Poor Omi Wise, look what he did to her." No, it goes over to him and saying, "Well, now he's in jail, and that's it." It's not her talking, it's him talking and his friends talking. I'm going to do a couple of these. This is part of the man caught in the trap, I think, idea. The men don't want to be married. They don't want the consequences of sex or marriage. And so it is understandable that they do these things. The French have a category, a legal category, called crimes of passion. And you will get much, I think a man will get less of a sentence than a woman will get for a crime of passion. But they do regard them as a different kind of crime. And if you've ever been so deeply in love that you just feel completely destroyed and disappeared, in some ways I hope you have, and in some ways I hope you haven't, because it's happened to me. And yes, sir. I don't know the case. Well, and we're still talking about modern times, though. But there are exceptions to any rule. Any rule, there's exceptions. There's exceptions to. But the casual nature, the assumption that violence will happen. "Monday morning, I married me a wife. Toodle-a-marajo, riddle-a-mya. Monday morning, I married me a wife for her. Monday morning, I married me a wife. Now I'll have me a different life. Sing fa little I do. Tuesday morning, I took her home. Toodle-a-marajo, riddle-a-mya. Tuesday morning, I took her home for her. Tuesday morning, I took her home. Now I've got me a wife of me own. Sing fa little I do. Wednesday morning, she cursed and swore. Toodle-a-marajo, riddle-a-mya. Tuesday morning, she cursed and swore for her. Tuesday morning, she cursed and swore. Thought by God she'd kill me sure. Sing fa little I do. Thursday morning, I whopped her well. Toodle-a-marajo, riddle-a-mya. Thursday morning, I whopped her well for her. Thursday morning, I whopped her well. She hopped about like the devil in hell. Sing fa little I do. And Friday morning I took her back, toodle-a-marajo, riddle-a-mya. Friday morning I took her back for her. Friday morning I took her back. Saturday morning was lonesome Jack. Sing fa-diddle-a-do. My big gin bottle is my best friend. Toodle-um-a-rajo, riddle-um-ya. My big gin bottle is my best friend for her. My big gin bottle is my best friend. My week's work has come to an end. Sing, fall, fiddle, I do. You know, Monday I do this, Tuesday I do that, Thursday I beat my wife, Friday I take her back. Da-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun. You know? So in some societies, it is assumed that that is the way you keep a wife under control. And that is over and over in these songs. Gentle, fair Jenny, she wouldn't either bake nor brew for fear of spoiling her delicate shoe. She wouldn't either card nor spin for fear of spoiling a satin skin. And he comes in and says, where's my dinner? She says, well, there's a little bit of Johnny cake on the shelf. If you want any more, go get it yourself. So he doesn't complain. He just goes out to the barn, gets the old sheepskin down, puts it over her back and beats her. And she says, I'm going to tell my daddy and all my kin how you the quarreling do begin. He says, go tell your daddy and all your kin. Come see how I tan my old sheepskin. And so, and there's the moral at the end. Now he comes in from the plow. It's, hello, husband, and how are you now? You know, they live free of care and strife, and she makes Johnny a very good wife. So that's the solution to marital strife. You know, this is a lesson for him, too, not just her. So enforcing the norm, that's what things like, I had a baby like any girl would. The boys, they followed after me like the boys would. It's boys will be boys. There's never girls will be girls. It's a big one. And it's a very upsetting time of life for both genders now, because all of these, a lot of these norms are being torn down, and a lot of us don't know where we are. I'd still like to cross that floor and ask that gorgeous young man to dance. Definitely, if my knees would do it. That's a good song, actually. Yeah, but older fellas definitely feel that it's their job to ask you. They die hard. They die hard, these... Yeah. Yeah, I'd ask you to dance, sir, with your beard. Yeah, you're a gorgeous young man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know who I'm talking to. Yeah, you. Okay. Next section, bucking the norm. I'm going to just leave that for a minute and just go quickly to the norm of women and work. Because in the women and in work section, this always brings in men, love, family, and kids. We don't have women's shanties where the men are not, where we're just talking about the work or how to operate the machine. We go to work to keep our families in these songs. That is the only reason we go outside the house, is because economically we have to. And some of these songs are absolutely fantastic. I'll sing you a whole one. This one, now that would be under bucking the norm, I think, that one. I shall just leave that one. Let's see. We don't have any songs about housework. We do not. We do it, so we don't want to sing about it. We have one that comes from the past. It's called Housewife's Lament. That's the only one I know, and it has a chorus. Oh, excuse me, guitar. Didn't mean to do that. One day I was walking, I heard a complaining. Can you help me with this? I saw a picture of Bloom. She stood on her doorstep, it was raining, and this was her song as she wheeled in her broom. Life is a toil and love is a trouble. Beauty will fade and riches will flee. Pleasures will dwindle and prices will double, and nothing is as I would wish it to be. There's too much of sewing goes into a bonnet. There's too much of ironing goes into a shirt. There's nothing that's worth all the trouble you spend on it. There's nothing that lasts but trouble and dirt. Life is a toil and love is a trouble. Come on. Beauty will fade and riches will flee. Pleasures will dwindle and prices will double. And nothing is as I would wish it to be. There's mice in the cupboard. There's the rubbish of spiders no mortal supposes. There's ants on the roses and da 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 da, and lists all the things that are going, you know. And then the last verse it says, alas, da-da, I cannot, my fate cannot be avoided. I cannot, my fate to avert. She laid down her broom, her apron she folded. She laid down and died and was buried in dirt. Life is a toil and love is a trouble. Beauty will fade and riches will flee. Pleasures will dwindle and prices will double. And nothing is as I would wish it to be. It's a very good song. It's lovely. I must learn it again, but it's one of those catalog songs. I love the one where there was mice in the cherries, and she lists all these things. But for the most part, we did not make songs about our work. We didn't. One of our main forms of love of work songs was lullabies, because lullabies are work. They really are, because you have to stay awake. And the lullaby is often very calm and peaceful, and that's something you can go to sleep with very quickly. There's a number of ways of sending a baby to sleep without soft and sweet.
I was in Ireland once, and the
wife of Paddy Tunney, wonderful singer in Ireland, she just had her first baby, bouncing baby boy. My goodness, he was a bouncer. He was about 10 pounds when he was born. And we were trying to talk, and the baby was crying. So without any ado, she plunked him face down. He was about 8, 9 months old, this baby. And she put him face down so hard on her knee that it sounded like that. And then she started doing a dowdy dowdly dowdly dowdy dowdly dowdle on his bum and on the back of up here, dowdly dowdle, and his little head was going up and down on the side. And he went to sleep. Yeah. The first thing about lullabies is they have to have a monotony, whether it's a fast rhythm or a slow rhythm. But the slow rhythm puts you to sleep. So one of the things women did was we complained about our lives in the lullabies. Black sheep, where's your lamb? Way down in the valley, bees and the butterflies picking out his eyes, poor little thing crying, mammy. This was a black woman singing to the white child. Black sheep, where's your lamb? Way down in the valley. My mama told me before she went away, take good care of the baby. But I went out to play, and the baby ran away, and the poor little thing cried, mammy. Or you sing about, hush, da-da-da-da, hush, da-day, times is getting hard. A dollar a day is all they pay for work on the boulevard. Hush, da-da-da-da, hush, da-day, times is getting hard. What can you buy with a dollar a day and work on the boulevard? And if you find yourself in this situation, that's our favorite form of poetic organization is the rhyming couplet. And you can make up all kinds of verse. Hush, da-da-da-da, hush, da-da, time to go to sleep. Time to go to sleep, my dear. You're making your mama weep. I mean, that's a silly one. That's doggerel. That's McGonagall. But you can do that over and over and over and over. It is work making a child go to sleep. Women's work songs, when they went to do weaving and textile work, most of those songs were not songs you would sing while you work. If you've ever seen the film Norma Rae, do you remember that very high-pitched sound unless that was a mill that I went to in England, the women all sing way, way, way high above the sound of the clacking machines, and they sing pop songs. Somebody starts it off, or they'll sing something well known, like Home on the Range, or Clementine, or something like that, that everybody knows. Very, very high. But these are things to make them feel like a community. They are not about the work. I'm going to sing a song all the way through now, just to show how, and this is a woman's song. I don't know who it was made up by. I wish I did, because I think it's absolutely fantastic. Just to show how the woman is tying her work life into her home life and bringing her home life into her work life. It's called Let Them Wear Their Watches Fine. I lived in a town away down south by the name of Buffalo. Worked in the mill with the rest of the trash, as we're often called, you know. You factory girls who hear my song, you'll surely understand the reason why I love you so is I'm a factory hand. I get up early every morn, I'm never late in time, to keep my shovels in a whiz and write my little rhyme. We work from weekend to weekend, we never lose a day. And when that awful payday comes, we draw our little pay. We then go home on payday night, we sit down in our chair. The merchant knocks all on the door, he's come to get his share. When all our little debts are paid, there's nothing left behind. We turn our pockets wrong side out, but not one penny can we find. Our children, they grow up unlearned, no time to go to school. Almost before they have learned to walk, they have learned to spin and spool. The boss man jerks them round and round and whistles very keen. I'll tell you why our factory kids is really treated mean. We work from weekend to weekend, we work from soon to late. We have no time to crimp or fix or dress right up to date. The folks in town who live so fine, who spend their money free, they won't look at a factory girl that dresses like you and me. As we go walking down the street, all dressed in lint and string, they call us fools and factory trash and other low-down things. But let them wear their watches fine, their rings and pearly strings. But when the day of judgment comes, we'll make them share their pretty things. Interesting. Share, not take away. It's,
I often wonder at the patience of people who are down at that level, you know, who are at that level. Norma Rae is a wonderful film, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's about an activist in spinning mills in the South. Let's see, where are we at?
So do the men have more cheerful working songs?
I reckon they do. In South Australia I was born, heave away, haul away. In South Australia, round Cape Horn, we're bound for South Australia. Heave away, you rolling king, heave away, haul away. I don't know any happy women's work songs.
We need some good house cleaning songs. Work us up. Give us good.
Lady, what do you do all day? Lady, how do you spend your time? Lady, got no time to be standing here gossiping, got no time to be answering. Beds need making, the dishes need washing, the bedroom need dusting and polishing, scrubbing and sweeping and sewing and cleaning and cooking and ironing. Are you listening? I'm a production line all by myself, only my wages are missing. Three kids of 8 and 7 and 2, leisure is just a mythology. When it's over my head, I can't go to bed, it's temporal health psychology. Mary's bedwetting and Tommy is jealous, a baby is yelling, is driving me crazy, a nurse and a nanny until I'm a granny. But why is it nobody pays me? Care for a lovely old mother-in-law, she's 87 and cranky. Husband's home with a feverish cold. Run for the tea and the hankies, the hot water bottle, the telly, the paper, and now the kids have it. It must be contagious, so now I'm the family medical staff. But where the hell are my wages? If wives and mothers all took to their heels, you'd soon be needing an army. And paying them all their union wages, I bet it would make you barmy. All eyes and ears, all hands and feet, my sign is Gemini, should have been 2 of me. I do the work of 12 a day, but where are the wages due to me? With wages so low, prices so high, budgeting must be meticulous. The hours I spend in looking for bargains and cooking is really ridiculous. And though my man's doing all that he can, what he brings home isn't making his meat. And I'll have to go out for a wage myself if the family's gonna keep it good. So it's up in the morning before all the family get the grub on the table. Beds need making, the dishes need washing, is everything done on the double? Drop the kids off at the school and run from my bus. Don't you think it's outrageous? I've more than enough with my labor of love. Now I'm doing another for wages. Boss is as good as a boss can be, but the office is just like a nursery. Smoothing his life, soothing his trouble, remembering his anniversary. Reminding, hurrying, scurrying, worrying, into the frying pan, out of the cage, and it's home from home wherever I roam, but at least I'm getting my wages. On my way home, I shop for the dinner and then have a tidy around. Billy comes in, sits down with the paper, says, girl, don't you ever sit down. Men of the world, would you think it was strange, think it was right, think it was funny to slog every night at a job for free after slogging all day for your money? So, give me my wages, give me my due, I'm opting out of the system. Give me bonuses, overtime, sick leave, and paid holidays and a pension. Then I can strike, work to rule, or go slow, or object to conditions and hours for wages would give me the power to have a say in a world where a person who happens to be female is supposed to be happy to spend all her time as a baby minder, sock minder, bacon fryer, dish dryer, floor sweeper, light sleeper, brow smoother, mend the hoover, nappy folder, hand holder, onion chopper, mess mopper, button sewer, tidy up, lunch for supper, money stretcher, run and fetch her, cake maker, back acre, early waker, bed maker, breakfast maker, lunch maker, tea maker, sandwich maker. Lady, what do you do all day? Lady, it's your only life. When they ask you, what do you say? Oh, I don't work. I'm nothing but a housewife. That's a housewife song. Right. That was going to come later, but that was the time for it. We needed something upbeat. I get so tired of the moaning and the crying and the weeping in our folk songs. This is why it's necessary to sing. I don't think I could, with any conscience, do an entire evening of folk songs about women. I couldn't do it. It's just too sad. You know. A quick one, bucking the norm. Saying, no, I'm not going to put up with this. First of all, the freedom not to marry. I'll not marry a man that's rich. He'd get drunk and fall in a ditch. And I'll not marry at all at all. I'll not marry at all at all. I'll not marry at all. And that was a revolutionary statement at one point. I will not marry. I'll not marry a man that's poor. He'd have me begging from door to door. And I'll not marry at all at all. I'll not marry at all at all. I'll not marry at all. You can join in if you want. I'll not marry a man that's thin. He ain't nothing but bones and skin. And I'll not marry a man at all. I'll not marry at all at all. I'll not marry at all. I'll not marry a man that's fat. He'd just sit and kick at the cat, and I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all. I'll not marry a man that's young, his flattering ways, his perlathering tongue, and I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all. I'll not marry a man that's old, his face is wrinkled and his love gets cold, and I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all. I'll not marry one man at all. I'll stay at home and favor them all, and I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all, at all. I'll not marry at all. One way of bucking the norm. Okay. Rich old miser, in defiance of marital violence and jealousy. A rich old miser courted me. His age was 83, and mine it was scarce 17. I wished his face I'd never seen. Letty in the day, day, good day, ma'am. Letty in the day, day, good day. Whene'er with him I do go out, or for to see a friend or foe, if anyone saluted me, it did inflame his jealousy. Letty in the day, day, good day, ma'am. Letty in the day, day, good day. Late one night when we came home, angered he did rage and foam. He beat me and he banged me too, till my two sides was black and blue. Letty in the day, day, good day, my letty in the day, day, good day. Such bitter blows I could not bear. As he lay sleeping in his bed, I broke my ladle right over his head. Letty in the day, day, good day, ma'am. Letty in the day, day, good day. So all young women's intent to marry, mind what household stuff you carry. Where'er you go, whate'er you do, be sure and carry a ladle with you. Letty in the day, day, good day, ma'am. Letty in the day, day, good day. Day. None of these songs talk about it the way some of the modern films do, with all the blood and the gore and the human misery. These are casual, and you had to be humorous about them. These songs were sung in mixed company, and they were a warning to men, you know, things like this. There's one wonderful new song in England called A Stitch in Time, written by Mike Watterson, in which he's a drunken lout. He's a hunk and a drunk and a skunk of a man. But it's a wonderful song. Haven't got time to sing it, but and he comes home, he beats her, and he bangs her too, and she decides to sew him into the bed. And she sews him into the bed, the top sheet and the bottom sheet through, the mattress and the blanket too. She bobbed and stitched the whole night through. Then she waited for the morn and her husband. Her husband woke with a pain in his head, and he found that he could not move in bed. Sweet Christ, I've lost the use of me legs. I thought his wife just smiled as the husband, for in her hand she held a rolling pin, a frying pan. With a flutter in her heart, she'd given him a lamb. He could not move, and he cried, "God damn, don't you swear," says the wife to her husband. No, it's a very good song. And it has him cured, you know. These are bucking the norm. Now, the right to choose your marriage partner, this is another thing. Even in Ireland, as recent as 20 years ago, on the west coast of Ireland, a man was still considered in working class, the west coast. I would call it peasantry, because that's what it was. Eking as the west coast of Ireland is not hospitable. It's a lot of rocks, and the fishing is very, very rough. There's not a lot of... and you were considered still an eligible bachelor at the age of 60. Because by that time you had enough money to marry. And the Scots and the Irish have a lot of songs about young women marrying old men. And some of these have come down to us. I'll not... get away, old man, get away. I'm not able to pull this one out of my head. I would not marry an old man, and here's the reason why. His lips is all tobacco juice, his chin is never dry. Oh, an old man, an old man, an old man, he is gray. But a young man's eventful of love, a young man, something in full of love. Get away, old man, get away. I'd rather have a young man with an apple in his hand than have an old man with 100 acres of land. For an old man, he is gray. But a young man's heart is full of love. Get away, old man, get away. I don't know if this is necessarily true. I married a man 20 years older than me. I was 20, he was 40. He told me he was 39. I'd rather marry a young man with an apple, red and rosy cheek, than to marry an old man whose back is mighty weak. For an old man, etc. There's a very humorous one where she marries him. An old man came courting me, hiding Durham down. An old man come a-courting me, high do a day. An old man come courting me, fain but he marry me. Mates, when you're young, never wed an old man, for he's got no faloodle, fa-little, faloodle. He's got no faloodle, fa-little all day. He's got no faloodle, he's lost his ding-doodle. So, mates, when you're young, never wed an old man. It goes on about the church. When they sat down to eat, devil a bite he could eat. And when we went to bed, he neither done nor said, because he's lost his faloodle, he's lost his ding-doodle. I threw my leg over him, fa-little-doodle. I threw my leg over him, hi-derry-down. I threw my leg over him, he swore I would smother him. Mates, when you're young, never wed an old man. I found my husband was still in good shape when he was 74. There's hope for everybody. A lot of it is attitude and what you happen to eat. You know, eat the right things. And I don't mean Viagra. Anyway, when he fell fast asleep, hi, dung, Durham down. When he fell fast asleep, hi, Durham down. When he fell fast asleep out of bed, I did creep into the arms of a jolly young man. And I found his faloodle, fa-little, faloodle. I found his faloodle, fa-little all day. I found his faloodle, he got my ding-doodle. Oh, mates, when you're young, never wed an old man. Some of these songs are very cruel, but there's quite a bit of cruelty in the folk songs. It wasn't a nice, tidy society, have a good day stuff, you know. It was from people who were battling just to keep going. And they had to have humor, and they had to be able to sing about whatever was occupying them, you know. Now, older women. This one's a good one, because there's an awful lot of children's songs taunting old women. And there are some ballads about really ugly old women. I don't think there's any ballads about ugly young women. I'll have to think about that one. But bucking the norm, I like this one, which is older woman. It's called The Deaf Woman's Courtship. Old woman, will you go a-weaving? Speak a little louder, sir, my hearing is deceiving. Old woman, will you go a-shearing? Speak a little louder, sir, my hearing is deceiving. I'm very hard of hearing. Old woman, will you do my spinning? Speak a little louder, sir, I only see you grinning. Old woman, are you good at knitting? Speak a little louder, or come nearer where I'm sitting. Old woman, will you go a-walking? I can hear you better now, come nearer when you're talking. Old woman, may I kiss you dearly? Lord of mercy, oh my soul, I hear you now quite clearly. I like those, I like those. There's songs like the Gypsy Davy, where she has a chance of living with the Lord, and she decides to go off with the gypsy and sleep in the mud and the rain. That's a well-known one. There's ones like Lady Isabel and the Elf Knight, which is a Bluebeard story. And he takes her away, he steals her away from her parents and gets down to the riverside and says, okay, I've drowned 9 kings' daughters here, and you're going to be the 10th one. So she says, Bonnie girl, she says, well, turn your back to me so that, he says, take off your clothes before I push you in, because they're too valuable to be, you know. So she says, turn your back to me, because you're not supposed to see a naked woman. So he turns his back to her and she shoves him in. Yeah, I like things like that. That's good. That's good. Okay. There are things like the one I sang you, If He'd Be a Buckaroo by His Trade, I Have Him a Hondu Ready-Made, and If Ever, etc. Where she says, and there's ones where she really dupes him. It's rather interesting. And the language is veiled. We're not talking about cunts and penises here. We're talking about ding-doodles. They don't use the words. They never use the words, because these are not pornographic songs. Not that the words themselves are pornographic, but they have come to be. And in the songs, they were considered that between, if you're going to sing these songs in mixed company, there's a certain amount of delicacy is needed. And maybe not just delicacy, but thinking of different ways of saying the obvious. Okay? And this is a different way of saying the obvious, and this is bucking the norm. One fine frosty morning as I was a-walking, I met with three gentlemen riding along. One stepped up to me, he started the talking. I'm afraid this cold morning might do you some harm. Oh, gentlemen, I wonder much at you. For to think a cold morning might do me some harm. There's one thing I crave, that's between your two legs. And if you'll give it to me, 'twould keep myself warm. Why, if she do crave it, oh, then she should have it. I'll ask my two comrades witness to be. We'll shake hands upon it and make it a bargain. And then we'll go seal it beneath yonder's tree. Soon as he unlighted, then quickly she mounted. And staring that gentleman hard in the face, says, you misunderstood me, you know not my meaning. And away she went galloping down the long lane. So pity that young man, he went home a-walking. But pity the young girls whenever they say, there's one thing I crave, it's between your two legs. Then he spurs up his horse and he gallops away. Clever. It's clever. It's very clever. We're still in the bucking the norm, where women say, I'm not putting up with this. Now, you'll notice that these songs are all about love. They're not saying that I'm not going to stay home. They're not saying I'm going to go and be an engineer. They're not saying I'm going to get me an education. They're not going to say I'm going to desert my kids and, you know, go off hiking across the Sahara. That's real bucking the norm, I suppose. These are ones that just say, I'm not putting up with the situation as I see it with men, love, family, and home. And in a reasonable number of them, the women, the man decides he's going to go off and be a soldier, or he's gone off and been a sailor, and she wants to go find him. And so she dresses herself up like a man, and she goes on board, and she finds him. She finds him, but she's got her man, okay? This is still back in home, love, family. Or the captain falls in love with her. This is still men, love, and family. Or she finds him, and he's parading down Sydney High Street or wherever with another woman, and she shoots him, okay? Still men, love, and family. No, it isn't that she decides to be a sailor all the rest of her life and climb the mast and just love looking out over the sea from the crow's nest. No, it's still tied down. Another interesting thing, and this is women banding together to buck the norm or to outwit the system or to use the system to their own advantage. Tomorrow morning I'm 16 and Billy Grimes, the drover, has popped the question to me, Ma. He wants to be my lover. He says he wants to talk to me. He's coming bright and early to take a pleasant walk with him across the fields of barley. You shall not go with Billy Grimes. You shall not go a-walkin'. You cannot go with Billy Grimes across the fields a-talkin'. To think of of his presumption, that dirty, ugly drover. I wonder where your pride is gone to think of such a lover. Old Grimes is dead, you know, Ma. Billy is so lonely. Besides, they say to Grimes' estate that Billy is the only surviving heir to all that's left. They say that it is nearly a cool $10,000, Ma, about $600 yearly. I did not hear my daughter dear that last remark quite clearly, but Billy is a clever lad. I know he loves you dearly. Remember then, tomorrow morning, be up bright and early and take a pleasant walk with him across the fields of barley. That's a good one.
I like that one. Okay.
Okay. Industrial songs. When the woman goes off to work, she's complaining about the living. Thank you for coming. She's complaining about the living. Bye. She's complaining about the wages. She's complaining about the boss. She's complaining about the hours. But she is still saying that she is a wage earner and she has to go out for this. The skill that she has outside is nearly always an industrialized version of what she would have done at home. Weaving, taking care of children. I don't know of any women print workers' songs or any women who worked in car factories, and that we've had cars around since the late 1800s or somewhere around there. These are nearly always jobs that require underpaid labor. The things that we're using Latino and immigrant work for here, women were used for that and still are. But most of them are, and jobs of going out for housework. That's interesting. There's no jobs about going out for housework. My mother-in-law was an office cleaner. She cleaned offices in Manchester in England. Her husband was blacklisted, and he had asthma. He was an iron molder. And she supported the family going out cleaning offices. My husband made a fantastic song about that, called Nobody Knew She Was There. An amazing song about it. Some of the really good songs about women's conditions have been made by men, you know, now. And who knows, maybe they made some of the earlier ones. We just don't know. And then she went and she cleaned in rich women's households. He went as a child with her because she couldn't leave him at home. And he remembers sitting in this fantastic house. He lived in a two up and two down in Engels's Salford town, the classic capitalist exploitation town in Lancashire. And he remembers going there with his holes in his shoes and wearing hand-me-down shoes, and she was cleaning the house while the rich lady was sitting reading in this fantastic room. And they brought home scraps from the table, you know. So we don't have songs about that. That is an interesting thing, too. I don't know why. Maybe we didn't want to sing about that. Maybe that was... I don't know why. Why would you think we wouldn't have songs about that? Because we worked in other people's houses forever. And black, as far as I know, the black community doesn't have those either. So we have bucking the norm still. Union songs made by women. Aunt Molly Jackson was one of the best. Kentucky miner's daughter, sister, wife, mother of miners. And really, if you're interested in women's history, you must look into Aunt Molly Jackson, Sarah Ogan Gunning. Women were foremost, and this was the Norma Rae thing again, in objecting. You know, when the English hired Irish soldiery to come and clear the West Highlands of Scotland, the men went away to the hills and the women came out with pitchforks and axes. You know, the women have always defended home and hearth and talked about home and hearth. The men often had to go off for jobs so they wouldn't be there. So Aunt Molly Jackson, one of her best ones is Union Woman. I don't know if I can sing it at this time of day. She, I am a Union Woman, brave as I can be. I do not like the bosses, and the bosses don't like me. Dead subtle. Join the NMU. Come and join the NMU. My husband asked the boss for a job. This is what he said. Bill Jackson, I can't work you, sir. Your wife's a Russian red. You know this song. Join the NMU. And we have songs like Girl of Constant Sorrow by Sarah Ogan Gunning. And I do have a feeling that that song I sang about Watch is Fine, that was definitely written by a woman. And the fact that we don't have names to attach these to, women get lost in history. We lose our names quite apart from anything else. So we do have songs of things like that, women going out to work. Songs about female adventurers. Women who just decide to go out and be a highwayman, but it's nearly always they meet their lover on the highway, you know. There's always a man in the background. There's some wonderful bite or bit songs where a man is trying to take advantage of a woman. And she, let's see if I can remember this one. Come young and old, come one and all, I'll tell you all a story. It's all about a plan I formed to spoil Miss Katie Maury. Spoil Miss Katie Maury. I went to her father's house just like a clever fella. I told her that the plums and the grapes were ripe. Yes, they were fine and mellow. Da 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 I oh, my two Irie-I-ho. But when I got her to the place, I said, nothing is the matter, but you must comply or else you'll die. I have no time to flatter my two Irie-I-ho, my two Irie-I-ho. She said, my dear, my dearest dear, there's nothing there's nothing that can stop us. But my father, he is in father yonder field, and he'll be sure to see us. But if you climb up yonder's tree, he won't see us. So the tree he was rough that he climbed so tough, and halfway up he stopped, sir. And at the top, and at the top he stopped, sir. My two Irie-I-ho, my two Irie-I-ho. So he's up at the top of the tree. As she went roving over the plain, she looked so neat and active, and there he sat at the top of the tree, almost raving, distracted, my two Irie. So she's gotten him up to the top of the tree, and then she's just run off, you know, which is a bit sad that he was that gullible. Makes him rather a nice man, I suppose. So there's all kinds of songs like this, but they aren't the bulk. They aren't the bulk. And one of our problems, and I want us to stand up in a minute, one of our problems is that we seem to like singing sad songs. We seem to go for the... Look at the newspapers. They're all full of sad news, bad news, horrible news. Go buy the Good Times. There's a paper called The Good Times. It's full of good news, but it's very thin. So we like to feel sorry for ourselves. And as women, you know, it's time we got over it, you know. More songs about women's power. That's what we'll do in the next bit. Okay. We're fond of saying that folk music deals with practically every subject there is. As far as women's lives are concerned, I don't think that's necessarily so. Here are some subjects that have not been, that I don't know songs about. Abortion, other than casually suggested in Tamlin. Incest, other than casually suggested in two or three ballads. Infanticide, other than mentioned, I do believe, once in The Cruel Mother. Contraception, adoption of a child or being adopted. No songs actually about, quote, illegitimacy. Sure, you've had a child out of wedlock, but a woman being illegitimate, often in a property valued society, would be considered not to be of good lineage. Unphysical abuse, verbal, psychological, we don't hear about it terribly much. What we hear about in the abuse in the songs is beating. We don't hear about, you know, putting somebody down or psychologically abusing them. We don't hear of same-sex love. We don't hear much about size. Physical descriptions of women in the songs are generally fairly limited. We don't hear anything having to do with menopause, periods, PMS, anything like that. It was unspoken about in the songs. We don't hear about disablement, people with any physical problems. We don't hear about single parenting, being left after marriage with children. We don't hear anything about lower wages. We don't hear about demeaning work, comparing women's work to men. We don't hear about carers, caring for older parents. Mentioned the housewives. We don't hear much about farm work, women doing farm work, and yet they did a huge amount of it. Maybe because it was assumed on farms that women would do almost everything, you know, excepting maybe mend the tractor, I don't know. We don't hear about illness, about euthanasia, about terminal illness. We don't hear about breastfeeding, pure and simple friendship between women. Hear very little about childbirth. We don't hear about problems, women's problems with their grown-up children. We don't hear about older women. We don't hear about love between older and old people. It's always love between young people. And you know, if you really look into the ballads, you'll find that daughters are never born. She always bears a son. She does not bear daughters. Unless it's in something like casually, like in the old maid song. Oh, I had a sister, Sally, who was younger than I am, ugly and ill-shapen. Before she was 16 years old, she was taken. Before she was 18, a son and a daughter. Here am I, 6 and 40. But it's casual, you know. It's not. But the women always bear sons. And there are grown daughters in these songs, but not newborn ones. These are just some odd observations of things that are not mentioned where women are the main protagonists in the songs. Now, the new songs. What is happening to counteract the destructive elements in these songs and to build constructive songs? A lot's happening, being written by both men and women. So I have here some songs about abortion, about contraception, illegitimacy, general dissatisfaction, matrimony, wife beating, agitational work, women in industry, the plight of older women, disablement of women, mothers' songs for grown children, pride in old age, explaining women to men. Would you like, is there anything specific you might like to hear about? Because there's no time for all of those. Absolutely not.
Could you sing the abortion one? Because I've never heard that.
Abortion. Okay. I was asked to write this by the NARAL, and the abortion, the pro-choice organization in England. And they didn't tell me what kind of song they wanted. They just said, we'd like you to write a song. So I wrote this, and they didn't like it at all. However, I think it's very effective. I think, anyway. I made it like a ballad. I don't want the boy with the long brown hair. I don't want the one with the curls. I want Jimmy and the devil may care. Jimmy's good with the girls. He took the girl with the long brown hair. He took the one with the curls. He took me and the devil may care. Jimmy's good with the girls. Come and walk in the summer woods. Come and walk in town. She walked with him to the end of the earth, and together they lay down. Annie, the light that's in your eyes tells your lover's name. Annie, the hope that's in your heart will turn to grief and shame. Sunday, Monday passing by, Thursday, Friday too. Annie walked in the autumn woods, a week past she was due. 1 week, 2 weeks passing by, 3 and 4 and 5. Annie walked in the winter rain and wished that she could die. December passed, New Year gone, Judgment Day has come. The doctor sat in the judge's chair, and the judges turned her down. Jimmy won't walk, Jimmy won't talk, Jimmy won't come around. Annie's gone to a back street woman to bring the baby down. Pain floods into that place where love has come and gone. Close the door and close the door, and Annie's walking home. Slowly, slowly up the stair into her childhood room. Her bed filled up with red, red blood. Annie died alone. She won't get the boy with the long brown hair. She won't get the one with the curls. She got Jimmy and the devil may care. Jimmy's good with the girls. Men sit in the judge's chair. We are up on trial. Woman, if you conceive, you must bear your child. It wasn't until after I'd written it that I figured that the last verse could be read two ways. But I usually introduce that by saying that the people that vote on whether we can have these abortions are a majority of men. And so, okay, what subject now?
Teaching men about women.
Yeah. What?
Like teaching men about women.
Oh. Well, I suppose this teaches men about men. Same thing. This is one of mine.
Let's see if I have one of somebody else. No, I'm afraid I only know the ones by me.
There are others, but this is about a friend of mine down in Asheville. Very close friend. I can talk to him about anything. Oh God, it's in tune. My God. Anyway, friend down in Asheville, and he's a rolfer, and he used to rolf me and. To make the pain better, he would tell me dirty jokes. And so we got to be good friends. And I can talk to him about almost anything, except one thing. It's like this. Davy is my good friend. It's like this. Been friends forever, love to get together. Davy is my good friend. But he's like a machine gun when I criticize the men. Well, suppose I say, this world is run by the men. You're not doing so good. Look at the mess we're in. Women connive a backseat drive. But in the end, this whole world is run into the ground by men. And he says, you new age women, you all talk just the same. Then he says, you feminist women, you all talk just the same. You give the men the power, and then you give us all the blame. I didn't give you the power. You got it when you were born. It was a little thing then, just about a little inch long. It's the key to the kingdom where we all belong. And it can make you right, even when you're wrong. He says, sit down, girl, listen to me for a change. He says, sit down, girl, listen to me for a change. I'm a new man, a sensitive man. You make me feel like a target in a firing range. Well, baby, you're not the bullseye, but you're one of the outer rings. You make small talk. You're a crown without a king. You change the baby, I know that's rough. You do the dishes and all that stuff, but you don't tell, you don't criticize what other men do. You don't help the ones who are not like you. You don't try to change the bigger things. I'm a woman loving woman. Davy is my good friend. I'm not like lots of women. He's not like lots of men. But somehow it seems like he's got his whole gender to defend. We were talking today. Tomorrow we'll talk again.
It off. It's a view now.
It's just a view it now, and I have no idea how to find a text message. I can find a voice message. Okay, what now?
One of your favorites.
Okay, that's one I'd need to play you on the machine.
It's not yet. It's a mother-daughter song, a mother-grown daughter song. And it's number,
different tunes. It's number 4. And my daughter and I started crossing swords when she was 13. And as much my fault as hers, I think definitely. I was the older one. I should have known better.
My mother was exotic.
Not yet. And so we really were not doing well. And so I made an album called Different, Therefore Equal. Because I wanted to start writing songs about various issues, so I thought, well, okay, and why not my daughter and me? I make a lot of songs by interviewing people. If I don't know a lot about something, I interview people. So I thought, for this song, my opinions weren't the right thing just to use. So I wanted to make it a dialogue. So I asked her if any of her friends would record for me about their mothers. She said, sure. And she got me Charlotte and Deirdre and Ruth and I think that was all, Charlotte and Deirdre and Ruth. So they came, these girls, and I told them, everything you tell me is absolutely zip-lip. And they told me the most wonderful things. And then I asked them if I could interview their mothers. And they all said, yes, certainly. They were all at odds with their mother. My daughter said, you're not supposed to like your mother. So she told me that. I said, do you like Deirdre's mother? She said, yeah. Oh, yeah, she's a good cook. You know, she gets on Deirdre's nerves, but yeah, I like her. And do you like Ruth's mother? Yeah, she's got a real temper, but I like her. And yeah, I went on to all her friends, and she liked all of her friends' mothers. And then her face fell, and she says, and all my friends like you. Oh, God, that period. Oh, geez, I wish I knew then what I knew now. So anyway, I recorded the mothers, and I put it together, okay? It's a dialogue between a mother and a daughter, a teenage daughter. And then when the time came to record it, I said, Kitty, do you think we should start learning this? She said, I'm not going to sing that. I said, but I wrote it for you and me. She says, well, you never asked me. So I combed London for a singer. My daughter is a beautiful singer, and she refused. I combed London and finally got a girl in a drama school who did as good a job as she could. Maybe she did a better job than my daughter. So we're in the studio. And my sons are playing all of the parts, except a little bit that I played. And they're producing it, directing it. And my daughter is just sitting there, listening to Tyra sing the part that was made for her. And Neil, my oldest son, leans over at one point. They told me this. Leans over and says, Kitty, you could have sung this much better. She says, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is different tunes, and it takes from my experience and from what those women told me. And I hope you can understand the, okay? Make it reasonably loud.
She was
no,
like
no, start it from the beginning.
Queen.
Thank you very much. Loud enough.
My mother was exotic. She was like a gypsy queen. I'd pretend she wasn't mine when I was 15. Her voice was loud. She wore men's shoes. She braided up her hair. Men would stop and stare. Her clothes were few and never new. She was always out of style. She was always nagging me. She'd treat me like a child. Sometimes I wished I had a mother like the rest. Sometimes she was so lovely that it took away my breath.
Most of the time my mum's okay. Don't like it when she shouts and swears. She never listens to what I say, but tells me that she really cares. Calls me dear when Kevin's here. She's nasty when he's gone away. Thinks she's jealous 'cause I'm young and free, and she's at work all day. Thinks I'm still her baby girl. She wants to run my life. Worries when I'm out at night. Her temper's nearly bad as mine. Gran says mum was just like me when she was in her teens. So why can't mum leave me alone? She's always, always nagging me.
Where are you going? When will you be back? You're surely not going out looking like that. Dressed in black from head to toe, talks for hours on the phone. Why won't you tell me where you go? Wish for once you'd stay at home. Looks at me so blank and cold, a look that cuts me to the heart. Where's the child, the friend I had, the daughter like morning star? I know you go and sit in pubs, although you tell me that you don't. I know you have a lacy bra that opens down the front. I know you hang out with a gang, you don't know all I know. You never tell me anything, you just dress up and go.
Why should I tell you? I'll go where I want, I'll do what I want and say what I want. When I have a kid, I'll let her do her homework when she wants to do it. Tell her how it was for me and how my mother put me through it. I won't wait till her dad comes home to tell him all she's said and done. And I hope that I won't have to work so hard and worry like my mom.
Shakes me off when I try to touch her. Throws herself at all the boys. Just can't think with the music blaring. She can't live without that noise. I'm in the kitchen making dinner, washing dishes in the dirt. Mom, have you seen my satin blouse and fixed the zipper on my skirt? I wish that I had looked so pretty. Wish that I had had your style. Love it when you wear my clothes. I wish that we could talk a while. She rarely tells me where she goes. She never tells me what she does. With her friends, she laughs and smiles. She's not like that with us.
I can take care of myself, you know. I'm not a baby, now leave me alone. My mum goes out to work all day. When she comes home, I make her tea. I can cook and sew and clean. None of my mates do that but me. Mum goes all coy about the boys, thinks I do more than I do. She never tells me what she does, but she's too old for that, I know. Wish that I was 18, wish that I lived on my own. When she gets that suffering look, I try to think of what I've done. Wants to hold me, wants to keep me, wants me in by 10:30. Every time I stand my ground, the same old chorus starts again.
Where are you going? When will you be back?
Where are you going? When will you be back? Where are you going? When will you be back? Where are you going? When will you be back? Sometimes I'm a stranger in my own skin.
I'm losing power,
giving in. She taught me to shop and to manage the house.
She taught me how to put makeup on and frowns when I wear my low-cut blouse.
My mom's there. When I need her, she's there.
Everyone needs something secret, something they don't have to share.
Don't make jokes in front of my mates. You look so silly when you do.
You won't come and I won't follow. Don't know how to get through to you.
Most of the time my mom is right, but I'm not gonna tell her so.
You cope with the world much better than I did. You know things I'll never know.
Grant says you were just like me, and I say you're the same as her.
Goodbye, baby. Goodbye, girl. Welcome, woman, to the world.
Make me feel so guilty, everything I say and do.
Those are the words of my old song, love. You're just singing a different tune.
La 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 la.
A lot of things in that I would never have dreamed up myself without getting from him. What? That's called Different Tunes. I sing my tune, she sings hers, and they both lace in together at the end. Yeah. That would be great. That'll be lovely.
the song, I'll Not Marry at All. I do know the origin of it, Peggy, because I heard it on a Hoot Nanny album that I bought in a grocery store in about 1972, and it was a little different, but it was...
Was it the same tune?
A little different. My dear young darling daughter, it's time that you were wed. She folded her arms and tossed her head, and this is what she said. Oh, I'll not marry at all at all, I'll not marry at all. I'll not marry at all at all, I'll not marry at all. Just take my stool and set in the shade, for I'm determined to be an old man. You know? But some of the verses are the same, except others were, I'll not marry a man who's rich.
It's most likely English.
Is it?
Came over from England.
And you think it's really old then?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
So
I would think so.
So that sort of defies the themes. I mean, it's an empowering.
It very, very, very.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember where my version's from. I learned it, 40, 50 years ago. But, I mean, these songs, they change as they move along. And that sounds to me as if it's mixed with paper of pins. I'll give to you a paper of pins where she says she'll be an old maid and sit in the shade.
Okay.
Which is a different ending from mine.
And then all around my hat, Maddie Pryor was in Michigan last week, actually, and with Steel Iceman. Current iteration, and I asked her, she said it was a combination of two songs, but that's another of those empowering
that's it.
Ones, which was kind of neat.
But that would have come originally from England.
Yeah. Really?
England or Scotland. I mean, if you can trace these things down. If you put I'll Not Marry at All just in quotes, Google it and see what you find, because there's the most amazing things on this internet that we have. Astounding. Some of it's lies, but, you know. Yeah. Another question? Yeah.
Peggy, do folk singers ever take older melodies and contemporize the lyrics?
All the time. I do it myself. I've just written a song, and I've just realized that it's a combination between the Miner's Prayer and Home on the Range. I don't know that it's ready. Well, it might be. I could run it past you, but it's a song from my brother who died in August. And I would tremble to sing it at this point, but I might. Would it fit into what we're doing now?
Question and answer.
Yeah. It's very new. It's very new, and it's...
Sometimes I need to move that off of there, if you would. Thank you very, very much, Josh. Thank you very much. And thank you for a really nice sound system. I probably shouldn't be doing this, but I would love to have your opinions on it, because whenever I make up a new song, I always sing it to people that I'm not related to, because they'll be most likely to give me their
good opinion.
Oh, gosh. That wasn't... Yeah, okay. Okay, I'll try to do it without breaking up. You were 6, I was 4. You poured our mother's French perfume down the toilet. Long ago, long ago. You said it'd make the toilet smell much better. You were my brother, I knew you'd know. You were 8, I was 6. Behind you on our bike, I caught my left foot in the chain while you made it go. So fast you made it go. But you were the one who cried like a baby long ago, so long ago. I remember, once upon a time we'd both remember. Now you're gone, I will remember for you, I will remember. You were 12, I was 10. We took a bath together, singing in the attic tub. It overflowed, it overflowed. You said never, 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 never tell my friends. You knew I wouldn't. No. You're 16, I'm a little younger. Two battling, budding, five-string picking siblings fighting over one banjo, one banjo. You told me that girls don't play the banjo. Then we laughed and we let it go. I remember, once upon a time we'd both remember. Now you're gone, I will remember for you, I will remember. I was 40, you were older. You said you'd bought a fine guitar especially for me, and you telephoned just to let me know. You'll appreciate this. Then you decided that you'd keep it. We laughed and we let it go. Yes, we laughed and we let it go. Down the years, you took care of me. You were most of the things an older brother ought to be. I hope you know, I'm sure you know. When you died on that warm summer's evening, it was so hard to let you go. I remember, once upon a time we'd both remember. Now you're gone, I will remember for you, I will remember. We remember, all your friends and family will remember. Now you're gone, we will remember for you, we will remember.
We will remember.
Here's that tune. Da 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 da. Did you know my brother, Mike? Ah. Yeah. Google Mike Seeger.
Just a quick question. You did the Aunt Molly Jackson song, and it's got the same tune as Florence Reese's Which Side Are You On?
Exactly.
So did Florence base Which Side Are You on Aunt Molly, or did Aunt Molly base it on?
There's something else too. I'll bet you that's an old English tune.
I would have no idea. But yes, we do take these. The answer is yes. But if you analyze, what is your name? Diana, if we analyzed that new song, I could probably tell you where most of those phrases come from. And the Miner's Prayer. It has elements of both of those. I was looking at it today, and I tried to write it out and say, where the heck did I get this tune? Because I keep thinking I've made up tunes. I made a song called Sing About These Hard Times. And the chorus goes, sing about these hard times. Sing all about these hard old times. Sing about these hard times. When will the good times flow? And it goes to that song that was in Brother, Where Art Thou? Oh, gosh. Da, 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 da. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let on down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down to the river to pray. I worked hard, I played my part, that's what I did right from the start. But these hard times are gonna break my heart. Oh, brother, let's go down, let's go down. I mean, that, I just literally lifted it, but I changed it just that little bit. But I did it unconsciously. I didn't realize that was what I was doing. Subject matter.
When did you begin to write?
When did I begin to write songs? Shall we get off the subject? Okay, is everybody else okay with that? The first two songs that I wrote, you're never going to see. They were so bad. And I wrote two more songs that are in my songbook over there that I use for cannon fodder when I'm teaching songs, to show how they could be made very much better. Started writing songs. I guess the first real song I wrote was The Ballad of Spring Hill in 1958. That's the one I'm proudest of. I wrote it in France when there was a mining disaster in Nova Scotia, and I was watching the television there. But I think I wrote a song in 1956 or 57 when I first got together with you and McCall, and I was doing copycat writing. It's good to do copycat writing. Copy what somebody else does. And then there's a whole sequence of things you can do. You can write new words to an old tune using the old idea. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop. When you grow up, you'll work in a shop. When you get married, your wife will work too, so that the rich will have nothing to do. That's not mine, but that's a parody. And you take someone else's idea exactly, and you change it. And then you take someone else's tune and you write new words to it. Or you write songs that are very, very short. So a lot of my work is very derivative, but I do admit it. I put them into folk forms because I think the folk forms have lasted so long that there must be something very good about them. And I think that we get the tunes our language deserves. We got the songs our society deserves. So the tunes are so tied to our language. And if you really studied it, you will figure out exactly how. And the tunes, in a way, if you use those tunes, it almost tells you how to use the language that you cast into it. and you can very quickly spot words that don't work because the tune tells you what to do and what not to do.
Other questions, Dan?
Can you tell us a little bit about this song your husband wrote about the first time he saw your face?
Oh, poor man.
It's a beautiful song.
Oh, it's a very long story.
Oh, sorry.
But and you probably need to hear some songs. I mean, if anybody wants to stay afterward, I'll tell you how I did, how it happened. It's funny. I think it's very funny anyway. He was 40. No, he was 41. Like I said, he told me he was 39. I was 21, just coming up for 21. And it's the classic situation of an older man falling for a younger woman. And the prognostication for us was dire. He already had a family. He left his family for me. But then I helped support them for the next 20 years. So it was fair. And I figure if a man leaves his wife, it's not good to start with. You know? It's a good song. It's survived an awful lot of mistreatments, hasn't it? And it has also gotten some new good treatments. Somebody recently sent me a rap version. First time ever I saw your face. Yeah.
Other questions or comments?
I think you said you had a song about menopause. There are songs written about you.
I don't know that I
have
one. I know somebody named Barbara Lester has written a wonderful one called Hot Flashes. I've written one about hormones. It's very short. Everyone knows you can't trust a woman whenever that time rolls around. Everyone knows she can go crazy when her mainspring gets unwound. At that certain time, a woman is prone to indisposition, and it's not unknown for her to be touchy, a little bit slow, so we can't entrust her with running the show. Everyone knows you can't trust a woman, she might slip out of gear. She bathes at the moon, she's a walking womb a dozen times a year. Low on ego, high on id, victim of her hormones, her mind's like a sieve. You can't trust a person who might flip her lid every 28 days. Everyone knows you can't trust a man whenever that time rolls around. Everyone knows he can go crazy when his mainspring's overwhelmed. The needle points north, south, east, and west. He's never at peace, he's never at rest. Victim of his hormones running too fast, steering the ship with his mind on the mast. Everyone knows you can't trust a man, things might slip out of gear. He's a walking, talking, divining rod 10,000 times a year. And the power and the glory, the whole damn show, everything except that old status quo, will all go to hell when the signal says go. Any time of day. I suppose that's out of. I probably should write a song about menopause. You know, mightn't be a bad idea. Interview some of the ladies. Yeah.
It's hard to follow up this question after that. As you looked at songs that were breaking the norm, I wonder if this generalization may hold true. Let me give you a little background to the question. I've been looking at folk songs in Newfoundland for a book that I'm writing on gender and Newfoundland history. And this may be a case of a little knowledge, it's a dangerous thing, but in the few examples that I've found of breaking the norm in that Anglo Newfoundland tradition, they've almost invariably involved an upper class woman with a sense of agency.
Lord Bacon, which has survived everywhere, might be a good example, where a woman in Turkey frees Lord Bacon. And
yes, I know the one.
From a ship, and he doesn't turn up after 7 years. Mm-hmm.
So she goes to get him.
She goes and gets him. Now, unfortunately, another woman gets dumped in the, mm-hmm. the process. But there are other examples, but they, at least in the tradition that I've looked at, they almost invariably involve an upper-class woman and therefore are beyond the reach of every woman.
How interesting. I had never thought of that. I'll comb my songs and have a look. Uh-huh, she could afford to do that. What other songs do you know that are in that category? Do you have a...
Unfortunately, I'm having senior moments, but I can send you the titles easily.
I would. I'd like to have them, because that is so interesting. I mean, we do have... a few songs of an upper-class man and a servant girl. That's the mismatch. But whether...
There was another one involving a lady, a noble's daughter who falls in love with a shepherd. You know, the classic scenario. And then...
Oh, a shepherd's daughter, a-watching sheep, a young William riding by. She proved to be the king's daughter and him but the shepherd's son. Yeah.
At least in
the knight and the shepherd's daughter.
The father is horrible to her, but she ends up hiring a lawyer. And then her father essentially says, you behave like a man, so you deserve the property and everything's well.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, there are these. The little drummer is like that, where he comes to her. You know the little drummer? He comes to her window, and she says, well, I'm rich and you're poor, too bad. And he says, well, I'm going to go away and kill myself. She says, well, that would be a shame. I'll marry you instead. Yeah, but she takes the decision. Yeah. I shall have to broaden the booking the norm section so that the misery doesn't take a whole hour to talk about. Yeah. But I would like a list of the titles. But the Anglo-American was in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia. The songs did not change so much coming over from England. They're still kind of half English. Here we had the black influence, and we had the communities were much further flung, I think, than in the eastern parts of Canada. And they were much more affected by contact with the Native American population too. I think we brutalized quicker than they did in Nova Scotia. I mean, and our weather helped to do that, the heat and the demoralization that comes with heat and being far from home. So you might have some songs I don't even know. I'd love to get them. Come up after I give you my email address. Lovely, thank you.
Jim, come closer so she can hear the question. Jim, come alive.
Can't hear you.
When you have a frontier song, frontier broadly defined, that you could sing
to us. Oh gosh, I think that's the a frontier song. My love is a rider, wild horses he brays, but he's give up horse riding and all for my sake. He sold him his saddle, his rope, and his spurs and his rope, and there'll be no more cow punching, and that's what I hope. I haven't sung this in years. The first time I saw him, it was late in the fall, leading a yearling, late in the spring, leading a yearling, a high-headed thing. He tossed me a wink as they gaily did go, for he wanted me to admire his bucking bronco. My love had the first thing he gave me a ring. But the thing that I gave him was a far better thing. It was a young maiden's heart, and I'll have you to know that he won it by riding his bucking bronco. My love had a bronco, it's gone to the bad.
which makes his dear Sally feel pretty damn sad. Oh, my gun, my love has a gun and it's gone to the bad. It makes his poor Sally feel pretty damn sad. His gun, it shoots high and his gun, it shoots low, and it wabbles about like some bucking bronco. Come all you young ladies, where'er you reside, don't trust a cowpuncher who swings his rawhide. For he'll love you and kiss you, then he'll leave you and go up the trail in the spring on some other bronco. That's all I can remember of that one. Yeah, that's a Western one. They say it was written by Bell Starr. But that's the only one I think can think of.
Other questions? Well,
one of my favorite protest marching songs is Bread and Roses. Is that considered a folk song, or is it more?
It hasn't gone into the folk usage. It hasn't been widely sung other than by feminist marchers. It's a very literary text. And we were talking about this last night. I have personal feelings about it. I feel the tune's not good enough. I feel it needs a better tune. I've heard it over and over and over, and I still can't remember the tune. I can't remember the tune, and I can't remember the words. It would be nice to have a really very, very singable... Do you know it by heart? Most women know only the first verse, like the International. We all know the first verse, and we don't know the rest of it. Pardon? It's a dull tune. It's a dull tune. Yes, it has no excitement in it. But one couldn't write a new tune to it now. You'd have to write a whole new song, which isn't a bad idea.
It's interesting. There's a difference between metaphor in that way and a really good folk song. The metaphor of Bread and Roses is iconic as an idea. And therefore, it doesn't have the song doesn't necessarily carry the power of the idea as well. I mean, people still sing the song because it's the idea is common, not because the song is so singable.
Yeah, folk songs are kind of in the lingua franca. They're kind of in the way we speak. Literary songs generally aren't, and a lot of anthems generally aren't. Let me get your opinion. There's one called. This called Reclaim the Night. I think it's here. Just a minute. Is it on here? Yeah, number 6. Now this has a philosophical point of view to make. It talks about the subject of rape, and it is not a cheerful song. But what it does is it uses the way we speak rather than the way we read. I don't think it's literary. Reclaim the Night was a movement in England. I don't know what you call it here. Take back the night. So reclaim the night for ourselves that we can go out in the night. Give it a go.
Though Eve was made from Adam's rib, 9 months he lay within her crib. How can a man of woman born thereafter use her sex with scorn? For though we bear the human race, to us is given but second place, and some men place us lower still by using us against our will. If we choose to walk alone, for us there is no safety zone. If we're attacked, we bear the blame. They say that we began the game. And though you prove your injury, the judge may set the rapist free. Therefore, the victim is to blame. Call it nature but rapes the name. Reclaim the night and win the day. We won the right that should be our own. A freedom women have seldom known. The right to live, the right to walk alone without fear. Our husband has his lawful rights, can take his wife whene'er he likes. Though courts uphold time after time that rape in marriage is a crime, the choice is hers and hers alone. Submit or lose your kids and home. When love becomes a legal claim, call it duty, but rape's the name. And if a man should rape a child, is it because his spirit's wild? Our system gives the prize to all who trample on the weak and small. When fathers rape, they surely know their kids have nowhere else to go. Try to forget, don't ask us to forgive them. They know what they do. Reclaim the night and win the day. We want the right that should be our own. A freedom women have seldom known. The right to live, the right to walk alone without fear. When exploitation is the norm, rape is found in many forms. Lower wages, meaner tasks, poorer schooling, second class. We serve our own, and like the men, we serve employers. It follows then that a body's rape is nothing new, but just a servant's final due. We've raised our voices in the past, and this time will not be the last. Our body's gift is ours to give, not payment for the right to live. Since we reject the status quo, we claim the right to answer no. If without consent he stake a claim, call it rape, for rape's the name.
We have time for one more, so I'd like to end with something cheerful. Yeah, little songs are important. I'll just do one by myself, then one that you have a chorus for. God made the flowers, the bushes and trees. God made the oceans. God made the mountains, the deserts and seas. God made the birds and the beasts and the fishes. And then I believe he made Eve. Eve sat around in the Garden of Eden, sunbathing and eating an apple and reading. God said, I'm leaving, but ere I depart, have you any requests? Eve said, yes. I'm sure that you made me the way that you like, but there's something down there, it doesn't feel right. It's easy to pee, but Lord, how it flops when I run. God said, God said you need it, and Eve said, I don't. God said, you'll keep it. Eve said, I won't. Eve fell asleep, and when she woke up, she got navel instead. She had breakfast in bed. When God came to call, he found his one and only human a-crying. She says, God, I'm lonely. You're always in heaven. God says, but I love you. Eve said, that's not enough. God said, tough. Now picture this scene in the Garden of Eden, Eve trying to tell him just what she is needing. She says, you've got the devil, the angels, the sinners, the saints, and your son. I'm always alone. God was a scratching his head, cogitating. At last, he decided to make Eve a mate, and he fished in his pocket, came out with spare parts in his hand, and made man. And here's one for all of us folks over 29. Okay. I figure there's not enough songs for us older ladies. I stole this idea. I got it from the Funny Times, which is a magazine of jokes. Comes out once a week, once a month. I've forgotten how often. It's a good thing to have something like that around the house and just read it, sit down and read it when you feel blue. And it was a paragraph, and I turned it into four verses. Here's your chorus. What a life, what a life. All these fellas fussing over me. I want to live alone and manage on my own, but there's all these fellas fussing over me. What a life, what a life. All these fellas fussing over me. I want to live alone and manage on my own, but there's all these fellas fussing over me. I've been around a long time. They say I'm well preserved. Some say I'm over the hill, but I'm just round the curve. I loved one man for 30 years. I loved him till he died. Now other guys are after me. There's 9 to be precise. What a life. What a life. What a life. All these fellas fussing over me. I want to live alone. Willpower gets me out of bed and tries to make me smile. Then I go to visit John and sit on him a while. I have a drink with Earl Grey, he's always hot for me. And cranky Arthur right as keeps me constant company. What a life, what a life, what a life. All these fellas fussing over me. I want to live alone and manage on my own, but there's all these fellas fussing over me. Gymnasium is boring, but he keeps me fit and trim. Alzheimer phones me up, but I won't talk to him. Jack Daniels keeps my spirits up, but only now and then. A little goes a long way, it's the same with all the men. What a life, what a life, what a life. All these fellas fussing over me. I want to live alone and manage on my own, but there's all these fellas fussing over me. I'm a slave to Mr. McIntosh, I'm practically his wife. Hand in hand with Microsoft, we're writing up my life. As long as I'm in charge, I don't care who's in on the deal. But you can bet that I won't let McDonald make my meals. What a life, what a life, what a life. All these fellas fussing over me. Da-da-da-da-da, I want to live alone.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's embarrassing when other people stand up. You have to stand up too. I'd like to thank the folks who put these microphones here. I didn't have to work at this, and that was absolutely wonderful. And thank you to John for organizing this. Mm-hmm. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you all for coming.